Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yes, brand new Bang and I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast is here. Higgity, have no fear. On today's I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, Michael Rappaport's Jewish news of the week. Gotta do it. Never thought I'd be doing it, but I'm doing it. Breaking down Dave Chappelle on SNL. Plus, Pistol Pete Davidson allegedly is back on these streets with Emily Ratajkowski. And Nas has released another record, King's Disease 3. And a guy named 21 Savage says he's not relevant. All that and more in a fantastic, hard-hitting I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast coming out right now. Miles Jordan, a.k.a. the Bleach Brothers, a.k.a. the Dust Brothers. Start this puppy off with something real nice, yes. Start this puppy off with something real loud, yes. But most importantly, start this museum-quality I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast off with something real funky. This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. Boom, yes. Have no fear, the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast is here. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. the Sultan of Sniff, a.k.a. the King of Cashmere. You see the cashmere. It's Moroccan. A.k.a. the Inflamed Ashkenazi, a.k.a. the Raging Bullshitter. Boom. You are now rocking with the very, very best, the world's most disruptive podcast. Welcome to the Iron Dome of Disruption. Welcome to the Ziggity. The Ziggity. The what? The Ziggity Zone of Disruption. See, I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast coming live and direct from Astoria, Queens. Queens is in the house. Represent, represent. Shout out to Nasty Nas. King's Disease 3. Gotta talk about it. Shout out to Mobb Deep, 50 Cent, LL Cool J, MC Shan, Marley Marl, the whole Juice crew. I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast is here. Higgity, have no fear. Hope everybody's feeling good. Hope everybody's feeling safe. Hope everybody is feeling sane, mentally okay. We are, boom, halfway through the month of November. If you could believe that 2022 is bye-bye. Hope you had a good one because it's coming to an end. Hopefully it'll come to a great end. Hopefully it'll come to a fantastic end. Hopefully 2022 will end fantastically for you and yours. Anyway, I'm Rapport Stereo Podcast. This year, as I said, my name is Michael Rapport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. the King of Cashmere, a.k.a. the Raging Bullshitter. Let me just jump to it. I had an extremely eventful, extremely social last, I'd say, week. Okay, I told you guys it was my wife's birthday, which entailed, birthday dinner, drinking some wine, becoming Bobby Womack. That's what happens when I drink wine. I become Bobby Womack. And I'm talking about Bobby Womack when he had the sunglasses and his shirt off. Okay. No disrespect to the later Bobby Womack, whose last album was very, very underrated. Bobby Womack's last album is a very, very underrated album. But I'm talking about young Bobby Womack. Cheating, conniving, soul singing, guitar playing. I believe he used to play from the left-handed side. That Bobby Womack. That's what happens when I drink rosé. Forget the red wine. You give me some rosé. I start singing, If You Think You're Lonely Now. I start singing, That's the Way I Feel About You. I said it. One of my regrets is not being able to ever meet the late, great Bobby Womack. But the socialization last week, the amount of time I spent out with people, it takes its toll on me. Because I'm going to be honest. Even the people that I like, I don't like them that much. And I'm sure they feel the same way about me. Trust me, I'm well aware of who I am. I am well aware. I like short spurts. I like sprint. I like sprints. I don't like marathon hangouts. But it was the dinners and then the lunches and then the brunches and then the walks and then the going here and then you're strolling. You want to go. All of it. All of it. And then Saturday night, I had the honor of going to another UFC event, UFC 281. Let me tell you something. UFC, whether it's live or on television, but particularly live, but even if you spend the money pay-per-view, I've never spent my money or went to a UFC event and been like, that was a waste of time. That was a waste of money. Of course, on pay-per-view, some main events might be disappointing, but you're never going to spend your $69 or your $76 on UFC and be like, that was a total waste of money. That was a complete bag of shit. And I went to that UFC 281 in the Garden, Madison Square Garden. That's right. I was back in the Garden, wandering around with the all-access passes. I had all-access everything. I was in the sweets. I was eating cookies, shrimp cocktail, everything. Ginger ales, all of it. And the headline fight was Piera versus Israel Adesanya. And I'll get to that. First, let me get to the experience. You walk into the Madison Square Garden arena, the world's most famous arena. You could say what you want. Madison Square Garden is the world's most famous arena. It's the only arena with all its history intact. I've said it once, I've said it before. The Fabulous Forum, the Lakers don't play there anymore. Staples Center, eh. Boston Garden, bye-bye. Chicago Stadium, bye-bye. The only arena with all its history. You walk into that arena, you smell JFK Jr., possibly finger-banging Marilyn Monroe, okay? You walk into Madison Square Garden, you could smell the elephant shit from the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus from 1982. You walk into that arena, you could feel the ghosts of the fans who have passed away from when Ali fought Joe Frazier in the same arena. You look on the ceiling, that's the same ceiling. That's the same ceiling that Ali fought Joe Frazier. Here comes Willis. that the Knicks won their first championship in 1970? Well, they won the other championship in the Old Garden, but that's not the point. Where the Iron Sheik fought Hulk Hogan, okay? Where Michael Jordan decimated the same arena. So there's a buzz in there. It's not just because I'm a New Yorker. Everybody, it's just a buzz. I don't know where Elton John, where Mick Jagger and Keith Richards probably were fucking doing lines of booger sugar, banging 2, 3, 4 broads in 1971 and going out there where the Who was doing that shit. That's Square Garden, world's most famous arena. You walk in there, you're excited. It's UFC. And everybody was in the building. Here's who I saw. I walked in there. I saw Jared Leto, who I've known peripherally. I've seen him around for years. I gave him love, gave him respect. He's got great skin, Jared Leto. Fantastic hair and fantastic skin. Jared Leto's got to be like, I don't know, close to 50. Looks good. Looks like Jesus Christ, that fucking kid. I saw Miles Teller, the actor from Top Gun, gave him love. I saw Jake Gyllenhaal, didn't make eye contact with him. Halle Berry's. All the fighters, they're all there. The Diaz this, the this one, that Usman was there. I saw the girl from Black Panther, Lupita. I can't even pronounce her. I don't want to pronounce her name. I'm going to be deemed racist. I saw that girl, Michaela Cohen, also from Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, who wrote, direct, and starred in that HBO show, I May Destroy You. I wanted to talk to her because I would have nerded the fuck out on her. I would have fanned Michaela Cohen, I May Destroy You, Wakanda Forever, I rock with you hard. And it's probably better that I didn't get to speak to you because I'm a humongous fan of hers. She's ridiculously talented. Sylvester Stallone was there. I didn't get to see him. Of course, I worked with him at Copland. And as I was sitting in my seat, because I got there early, I wanted to watch the prelims, all the seats in my area. Shout out to Dana White again for hooking me up with must be in the front row seats. And I'm humble. I'm not like I expect these seats. I walk in there, I go, I'm assuming he's going to put me where he put me last time, which is front row. But I'm like, I don't want to give you any ideas, Dana White. I don't want to. I like what you're doing. I'm not even going to say it. I was exactly where I should have been. But the person who was sitting, because I was actually on the floor, 10 feet away from Joe Rogan and Daniel Cormier and the other dude. They're right there. And the seat in front of me, Iron Mike Tyson. Mine said Rappaport plus one. The four seats in front of me said Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, Iron Mike Tyson was sitting right in front of me. It's Madison Square Garden. And let me tell you something. I've talked about this before on the podcast about, you know, sometimes, obviously when you go out to a fight, you're expecting to mingle and you're amongst the fans. It's New York. I'm excited to be there. I love meeting people. I love taking pictures with people. I appreciate it so much. But anybody that complains about being famous or annoyed or having to take pictures needs to follow Mike Tyson to a UFC fight in public because everybody wants to talk to Mike Tyson. I seen people like, they were like, they fucking saw like Jesus Christ himself. Like they were like, they saw a ghost. When people's reaction to seeing Mike Tyson is bugged out. And he was sitting literally, like at some point during the fight, I had my hand on Mike Tyson's former heavyweight championship shoulders. Of course, Mike Tyson's been on the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Excellent episode. It's an excellent episode. But Mike was right in front of me. Like, if I wanted to, I could have smacked Mike Tyson on the back of the fucking neck. Like, I literally could have went, ba-boom, you fuck. That's how close Mike Tyson was. And trust me, it went through my mind. Like, if I smacked the shit out of Mike Tyson right now, what would happen? Would he be like, Mike, why are you doing that? Because I know Mike Tyson. Or would he just react and fucking do like he did to me, that guy in the airplane? But literally, with Mike Tyson sitting in front of you, it's like your brain, you're like, the neck's right there, is bald. If I just went on the back, would he fuck me up? Would he grab me? Would he be so shocked that someone hit him, and then when he identifies the person that hit him as me, Michael Rapaport, how would he respond? I'm never going to, Mike, I love you. Just saying. But the point is that sitting in front of him, people were tripping out. Everybody, every celebrity, every hedge fund person, every, I don't know who some of these people were, but there's, you know, some people you recognize. It's not all celebrities and fighters. I'm imagining anybody that's sitting down there is either like, they're rich or famous or both. You ain't just down there. Or you're Dana White's friend, or you're the Fratelli brothers, the Nutella brothers, those other guys that are in partnership with Dana White. Anyway, it was just an incredible environment, incredible atmosphere. And Nate Diaz was there. I've still yet to meet Nate Diaz. I love fucking Nate Diaz. Anyway, the fight started, and I've said this before, but when you're, I was literally, they're in the ring, like the cage is 20 feet from me, 20 feet. You could hear, boom. You hear like when they get kicked, you hear, when they get smacked, you hear, when they fall, you hear, not only do you hear the smash, you hear like the grunts. You hear the air come out of people. And it's just an incredible event to watch. And, you know, I left at 1 a.m. And most people won't think twice about that. 1 a.m. for me takes a toll on me. Like when I'm staying up till 1 a.m., even to see an incredible night at Madison Square Garden, the UFC, I know the ramifications of it. The next day, it was a Saturday. A Sunday is, of course, fantasy football. I got to work out. Because, I got my planking in on Sunday. Oh, yeah. I got that 5-minute, 30-second diversified plank in on Sunday morning, post-UFC Saturday night. I am Rappaport
Podcast. We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. John Wall, baby. Needs no introduction. Every week, the 5-time NBA All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA and what's going on now in the league. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John Wall will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show to give their unfiltered accounts of what's really going on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win album of the year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
UFC fights, I'm not going to go the whole night and what I saw and who won this fight, who won that fight. But I will say this about a few fights. Frankie Edgar fought, I can't remember the guy or the name he fought, but Frankie Edgar, I believe it was his wife or his girlfriend or his baby mama or his significant other, was over there with his kids. And Frankie Edgar, who's beloved, wound up getting knocked out very quickly. And watching the faces of his wife and his kids and them seeing their father knocked out was bugged the fuck out. Now, you can tell that they've seen this before. They've seen their father fight. They probably had many conversations about coming to see their father fight and, you know, what could possibly happen, because there's no guarantees. No matter who you are, what your record is, who you've won, who you lost to, when you go to see somebody fight in UFC, anything could happen. And just, they were literally 10 feet away from me watching these little kids. Like, the son was like, damn, like he was pissed that his father lost. I believe it was a daughter. I couldn't tell because she was crying, but the kid had longer hair, was crying. The wife was, you know, stoic, but it was a bugged out thing seeing family members respond and kids respond to their father laid out. He got kneed in the face. I believe it was a knee or it was an elbow. I think it was a knee in the face, and homie was out. And then like a minute later, he's up. He's just like up. And I'm like, if I ever got kneed in the face, I wouldn't be like up and like chit-chatting with Joe Rogan. I wouldn't, if I ever got kneed in the face on purpose or even accidentally, if you ever kneed yourself in the face, I've done that before. And that just goes to show like how you learn, because I can't even remember the last time I kneed myself in the face, and I'm glad I can't remember, but it'll never happen again because the mind and the body, that just goes to show like how pain can teach you a lesson. When you knee yourself in the face, you go, whatever I did, like I was like getting something or stretching or lifting something. And when you knee yourself in the face, your brain will program itself to never do that again because it's not a good feeling. So that fight was crazy, and watching that was crazy. And then Michael Chandler fought Dustin Poirier, and they were throwing down. I mean, these motherfuckers were throwing, I mean, punching each other in the face. There's some clip of this dude Chandler getting punched in the face, and you literally see his nose explode like a slow motion clip because punching, like you see, it's like, it's literally like the brilliance of Raging Bull. He gets punched in the face and the blood goes slow motion. And at one point, Michael Chandler, whose nose is bleeding, I saw this later on. I didn't see this live, but I saw a clip of him like, he blew his nose on Dustin Poirier. I'm like, you're a nasty motherfucker. Like, I know it's kill or be killed and like you'll do anything, but come on, man. To me, that's like biting someone's ear in a fight. Like, yo, he made you bleed. You don't have to blow your nose on him and put your blood in his face. And even the dude Dustin was like, yo, you're a dirty motherfucker for that. It's like the motherfucker that bit my ear. I tell you the story about my ear getting bit. We're in a street fight. I can get us a street fight, you fuck. There's no weapons. You're biting ears. You fuck you. Anyway, that was incredible. Dustin won that fight. You know, and homie wasn't even breathing hard after the fight. Like, I'm that close. I'm like, I see him. He's like talking shit and yeah. And I'm like, these guys are incredible athletes. That's the thing about going to see UFC live. And I was telling my friend who doesn't watch it, doesn't fuck with it. And I was like, I'm telling you, just as a fan of sport, watching UFC live, it's an incredible spectacle. And the athleticism is incredible. And they're trained. And yes, it's brutal. And yes, it's violent. And yes, sometimes you're like, whoa, but this is what they do. This is not like, you know, tiddlywinks, obviously. And then Izzy fought Poirier. And I'm be honest, I had a conversation with one of the Dust brothers that I thought Izzy was going to lose this fight. And I'm a fan of Izzy, just like everybody else is a fan of Israel Adesanya. But no disrespect. Just like I was a fan of Floyd Mayweather's. Just like I was a fan of Winky Wright. Just like I was a fan of the great Bernard Hopkins in boxing. But Izzy's fights have been boring as fuck. I mean, boring. They're defensive and it's MMA. It ain't boxing. You want to get out there and just win and like I said, we come there to see, we want that violence. And people like Israel because of his personality, and he's funny and he's accessible and he's humble and he's cool and he's cool looking and he just seems like a nice guy. And I've met him, he's a super nice guy. But I had a feeling he was going to lose. He fought a guy that he had lost to twice in kickboxing. And they were duking it out for four rounds, apparently. I haven't watched the replay, but he was winning 3-1. But based on where I was sitting, and me and my man Barr, we were at the fights, we were like, yo, this dude is heavy-handed, and he was hitting Israel. And in the fifth round, he knocked him out. The fight stopped. And there's been some discussion about whether it was stopped too early and should they have let him continue fighting. Personally, I don't think the UFC, I don't think Dana White, I don't think Israel Adesanya needed the image or wanted the image of being laid the fuck out on the ring. Now, if Israel had the other dude in trouble, would they have let him get laid out on the ring? I think they would have. It's just like when Conor McGregor fought Floyd Mayweather. They could have let it go on and Floyd Mayweather knocks the shit out of Conor McGregor, but I think the referee was like, we don't want that image. You lost. We don't need you getting knocked out of the fucking ring. Conor McGregor, just like we didn't need Izzy Adesanya on the ground and getting pummeled in the face. He's a star of the UFC. So you want to keep that image intact and you want him to live to fight another day. And then there's, you know, a rematch. When you get pounded in the fucking face with these hammer fists, whatever these people do, knee drops, I don't know what the fuck they do. I don't want to know. Flying elbows, karate chops, I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't want to ever get hit with a karate chop, a knee in the face, a flying elbow. I don't want to get kicked in the face. These guys are getting kicked in the face like it's nothing. Literally. Spinning kicks, this way kicks, reverse, but 360, 720s, 180, boom. It's like nothing. They're like, okay, you got me. I'm fighting somebody and they kick me in the face. I say, you won, homie. If I'm in a street fight, and I never want to be in a street fight again, but I'm in a street fight, the only thing you need to do to beat me is just go, hi-ya! Yo, you're good. Take it all. You start doing the hi-ya shit to me, and you start acting like you could kick and jump. You got it. All due respect. Yo, you got it, homie. Anyway, great night. Fantastic event, but I should have bet. Because Izzy was favorited. And even the captains at Captain Picks, they had Izzy. And I just had a feeling. And it's easy to say, oh, I had a feeling I should have bet afterwards. They're like, you should have put up your money beforehand, asshole. I get that. Trust me, I know. Just like I did say that Aaron Rodgers was going to stuff the Dallas Cowboys. Just because it's the Dallas Cowboys and it's Mike McCarthy. And I said that out loud. I said, he's going to get them. With a decimated defense and not so good offense, there's games like Aaron Rodgers will rise to the occasion to stuff the Dallas Cowboys. And betting's legal. Not illegal. Betting is legal in New York. There's plenty of places to bet. And if you know what you're doing, if you rock with the people at Captain Picks, if you plan your shit, as far as I'm concerned, based on what I know, and I ain't no expert, I ain't no Ace Rothstein, but if you have $10,000, let's say $20,000, let's say $10,000. If you have $10,000, I'd rather take my $10,000 and use it gambling, sports gambling, than putting it in the stock market today. Because if you bet without your emotions and you bet from a strategic place, and you bet without being a bitch ass hoe and being emotionally involved, and you bet to win, just like you play to win the stock market. Personally, I think right now, especially with the help of the captains at Captain Picks, you could definitely make more money the way the stock market is right now. That $10,000 will grow, I'm going to do a big word, exponentially. Did I say that correctly? Anyways, great night. Then I went to the Giants game. And the Giants won, but it's not even a comparison. And I had great seats for the Giants game. Fantastic seats at the Giants game. You can't even compare the two events as a sporting event. And yes, the Giants game wasn't a great game, but there's 15 timeouts. There's 15 TV timeouts. Every single thing that came on in the stadium, every 2 minutes. And I love the veterans. It was Veterans Day. It just had nothing to do with it. There was one sad story after the other sad story after, like, I was like, am I an American history lesson? The Army this, the military that. And that means no disrespect to the Army, the military, or any of the great people that have served our country. But I'm like, I'm at a football game. Can I get some Lawrence Taylor, Harry Carson highlights? Can I get to see some Mark Bavaro highlights? I'm at a football, I'm at the Giant Stadium, for crying out loud, MetLife Stadium, whatever the fuck they called it. Again, it's nothing to do with the veterans or any of that stuff, but I'm like, every single, it's just slow. It's slow moving. There's timeout after timeout, and then there's, you know, planes flying over, and they're like, oh, look at the jets. And I'm like, okay. And then there's, it's just, you can't compare it to being into a UFC event. A UFC event, it's on and popping from the jiggity jump. And I know my attention span is shot. I understand that. But if you get to take me to another Giants football game, I don't care if they're playing the Cowboys, the Eagles, Super Bowl, playoff game, or UFC fight, I go to UFC in a second. And I love football my entire life, but it's just a more exciting event to be at. I Am Rappaport
Podcast. We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. John Wall, baby. Needs no introduction. Every week, the five-time NBA All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA and what's going on now in the league. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John Wall will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show to give their unfiltered accounts of what's really going on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win album of the year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Michael Rappaport's Jewish News of the Week. I never thought that every week I'd have to do Michael Rappaport's Jewish News of the Week, but here we are. So, to update everybody, Kyrie Irving has missed the last five games playing with the Brooklyn Nets. Unless you've been living under a rock, you know that Kyrie Irving was suspended for five games and this, that, and the third. And there is no set time as to when he's going to be joining the team. The Nets have been playing good without Kyrie Irving. Personally, as I said last week, because it's gotten to a point where you can't even criticize Kyrie Irving as a basketball player anymore without being called racist or without being called or told to stay out of black people's business or all the other fucking Instagram bullshit. But personally, I think the Nets themselves do not want Kyrie Irving back for basketball, for COVID-related, for time off, for talking crap about the younger players, for just Kyrie Irving basketball reasons. I don't think they want him back. Are they a better basketball team without Kyrie Irving? No. But is the organization better off without Kyrie Irving playing basketball for basketball reasons? Personally, I think yes. I think that the ball moves around more. I think Kyrie Irving has never been a defensive player. I think Kyrie Irving dribbles the ball into the ground, and when it works, it's spectacular. But other players stand around. They're not participating. The only other person that gets the ball is Kevin Durant. It's a better brand of basketball without Kyrie Irving. Are the Nets going to win the championship with or without Kyrie Irving? No. But like I said last week, Kyrie Irving did this to himself, and the cherry on the top of the Kyrie Irving ice cream sundae was the documentary, which Dave Chappelle called Knee Bros to Hebrews, or some shit like that, brilliantly. But I'm allowed to criticize Kyrie Irving as a basketball player and as a team player for the Brooklyn Nets, and personally, I don't think they want him there. How it's going to play out, I have no idea. He's making $40 million a year. That's where we stand. But we've gotten to a point where if you're black and you criticize Kyrie Irving, you're a sellout. You're an Uncle Tom. And if you're white and you criticize Kyrie Irving, you're a racist. You should stay out of black people's business and all this other nonsense. Kyrie Irving did this to himself. He got himself in this position all on his own. And the cherry on the top was the documentary. When he was in Boston, he was disrespecting the organization, disrespecting the other players who are all black, the young players, Jaylen Brown, who's standing up for him, Jason Tatum. He was not on their bench during their playoff run. And all the other things Kyrie Irving has done as a team member of basketball teams in the NBA. But it's gotten to a point where literally, if you're black and you criticize Kyrie Irving, if you're not on board with him, you're a sellout. And if you're white, you're a racist and you should stay out of black people's business. It's ridiculous. Secondly, a Michael Rappaport Jewish News of the Week. Dave Chappelle hosted Saturday Night Live. And a lot of people have been asking me what I thought of his monologue. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was pure art. I think Dave Chappelle is pure art. He's Van Gogh. He's Picasso. He's Basquiat. He's Monet. He's Mozart. He's Beethoven. He's Stevie Wonder. He's whoever you want him to be. He's Jay-Z. He's Nas. He's Miles Davis. He's Thelonious Monk. Pure art. Was I offended by any of it? No. It was not offensive at all. He hit everybody. And, you know, some of the things that he said, and I am fact-checking, some of the things that he said, the way he started, the first thing that Dave Chappelle did was he read an anti-Semitic statement. He apologized for being anti-Semitic off the top. This is brilliant. He read his statement. I am apologizing for my anti-Semitism, and I am apologizing to all the people I have offended tonight. He apologized before he said anything. Fantastic. And he also said, I can't remember how it started, talking about Kanye West and the DEFCON 3. And then he mentioned how when he was growing up, he was friends with a lot of Jewish people, and he always knew on Friday nights they couldn't hang out because they would have to go to Sha-na-na. I wish I had that fucking joke. That's a brilliant joke. That on Friday night, his Jewish friends had to go to Sha-na-na. I'm full Jew. Ashkenazi Jew. AKA Silverback Jew. And I wish I had. I wish I could. The thing about Dave Chappelle doing that joke is he did it on Saturday Night Live. He's never going to say it again. I'd run that joke into the ground. That's like one of the, that joke is so good. Like, that's like somebody's best joke ever. And unfortunately, people were offended by this. Jewish people were offended by his monologue. The ADL, a lot of Jewish groups. We need to stop. There was, just like with the transgender stuff, there was nothing mean-spirited. There was nothing that was thoughtless. There was nothing that was derogatory and just mean. He's so thoughtful, so smart. Why is it okay for Dave Chappelle to call Herschel Walker dumb? And he's got the face of a person who's trying to figure out a move before he plays tic-tac-toe and not be able to, in the same 20 minutes, make hilarious jokes about Shabbat dinner. He talked about Kyrie. He talked about Kanye. He talked about everybody. And this is why, number one, it's comedy. This is why, number two, he's pure art. He's a pure artist. He's Jackson Pollock. He's anyone that you love as an artist in whatever genre. He's that. I wasn't offended at all. It was hilarious. There's a list of jokes that he did that I was like, I wish I had that joke. The Trump stuff was great. Even the Trump stuff that Dave Chappelle was so good that stupid Eric Trump, the dumbest of all the Trumps, reposted the joke as if it was a compliment. You dumb fuck, Eric Trump, you big tooth dummy. You big tooth dummy. But this is how brilliant it was. This is how brilliant it was. But Eric Trump, you are dumb. You're dumber than your sister Tiffany, who got married this weekend. And if you see the pictures of Dick Stain Donald Trump at the wedding, the last place he wanted to be was walking Tiffany Trump down the aisle. You could tell he was like, God damn it. And he was like, who's the schmuck that married this fucking pile? That's what he's thinking. He don't like Tiffany. He don't like Tiffany. I have no problem with Tiffany. I've always said that Tiffany looks like she's one of those girls who did outtakes from Girls Gone Wild. Poor Tiffany. But you could tell Dick Stain Donald Trump was like, I don't want to spend my fucking weekend doing this shit. Probably had to go to rehearsal dinner. But Chappelle was awesome. And I stand by that 100%. And for someone that talks shit, for someone who's a comedian, for someone who is a podcaster, for someone who is about this disruptive life, this whole notion of comedians punching down is ridiculous. The old pie in the face, the old comedic bit of the pie in the face would be deemed bullying now. Shit's funny. Like if I'm doing this podcast and someone threw a pie in my face, wouldn't that be dope right now if somebody threw a pie in my face? You'd laugh. You would laugh. It'd be funny. But it's like, you know, they go, well, you shouldn't punch down to marginalized groups. At this point, who's not marginalized? Straight white men? They're the ones that are not marginalized. But what if they're straight white men and they're Jewish? You look at Def Comedy Jam. There's so many redundant jokes. Oh, black people are like this. White people are like that. Black people are like that. Is that punching down? We have to be able to make jokes. We have to be, whether it's trans jokes, whether it's gay jokes. When you saw the roast of one of those roasts and Pete, somebody was roasting Pete Davidson. They're funny. Humor is humor. Comedy is comedy. And there was nothing that was mean-spirited. There was nothing that was derogatory. There was nothing that was anti-Semitic. He made the jokes about Jews running Hollywood. He goes, I have been to Hollywood. Dave Chappelle, I have been to Hollywood. And there are a lot of Jews. It's true. If I called 99, because last week I was talking about how dumb Herschel Walker is, just like Dave Chappelle talked about how dumb Herschel Walker was. But if I was up here talking about anybody else, any other black man being dumb besides Herschel Walker, you know what people would say? You're racist. Yo, you're calling a black man dumb. You're perpetuating these stereotypes. White boy, who the fuck are you to call a black man dumb? But it's okay for everybody collectively to call Herschel Walker a dumb fuck? Why? I can't even call Lurch Fetterman from Pennsylvania, the new governor of Pennsylvania, dumb because he's a Democrat. Have you heard this guy, Lurch Fetterman, Stump Fetterman speak? You think he's smart? You think that Stump Fetterman from the new governor of the state of, we're not talking about some, we're talking about Pennsylvania. It's a big ass state. You think he's smart? Guy's dumb as shit. And then they were like, well, he just had a stroke. They got a new term, ableing. I don't give a fuck. Then I don't want a newly appointed governor who just had a stroke. No disrespect to stroke victims. I want a healthy fucking governor. I want a healthy president. Lurch Fetterman is dumb. He ain't smart. I don't like his policies. I don't like his tattoos. I don't like his cut-off shorts. I don't like his hoodie. I don't like the way he speaks. I don't like that fucking gorilla ridge he has in his nose. He's got like, and he's the governor of the state of Pennsylvania. It's this big-ass state. But the fact that it's okay across the board for everybody to say Herschel Walker's dumb. But like I said, if I called any other black man dumb, I'd be deemed a racist. If any other white person called another black person dumb, you'd be deemed a racist. Why is it okay? Because it's funny. The shit's funny because he got a dumb face and he actually is dumb. But so's Joe Biden. I mean, he's not dumb. He's fucked up. But you can't say that. We can't. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's comedy. So I stand by. I watched it twice just to see if I missed anything. It was great. Dave Chappelle is great. And like I predicted on the last I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, I said, motherfuckers who hate Dave Chappelle, who canceled him because of his Netflix specials, woke up on Sunday into Saturday night tweeting, why is he hosting Saturday Night Live? And my question is, why the fuck were you watching it? Didn't he offend you four specials ago? Why are you still watching Loser You? You knew he was hosting. You knew he offended you four specials ago. Yet you came back for more. You came back for more. Why? I have no idea. I will say this about Saturday Night Live, and Saturday Night Live isn't worth the discussion because Saturday Night Live is not a great show. The girl Sarah Sherman, aka Sarah Squirm, killed it on the news. She's dope. She's awesome. She's funny. She's ballsy. She's in control, but comes off totally reckless. And I was very disappointed. Listen, Black Star, their record, their first record, one of my favorite records. Mos Def, Talib Kweli, I put them both on my favorite MC list individually. But and Madlib, ridiculous producer. I didn't like either one of the songs. I was disappointed. And I say that with all due respect. I could say that. People, yo, white boy, what the fuck you even speaking on hip hop? Fuck you. How about that? The songs weren't good. They weren't shit. Their rhymes were tight, but the... And that's Madlib. I fuck with Madlib. Otis. Shout out to Otis. Shout out to Madlib. Shout out to all the work he's done. He did a lot of the beats for Beats, Rhymes, and Life, The Travels of a Tribe Called Quest. My documentary on A Tribe Called Quest. Everybody has respect for Madlib. Those two songs that they performed, produced by Madlib, let's just say they weren't my favorite. I was happy to see them on TV. It's always great to see hip-hop on Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live's been doing that since Run DMC and Aerosmith back in the days. In other hip-hop news, now I'm shifting now. I'm shifting from Michael Rapaport Jewish News of the Week to Michael Rapaport Hip-Hop News of the Week. Nasty Nas, Nas Escobar, released another album produced by Hit-Boy, called King's Disease. Now, is the group called King's Disease? The album's called King's Disease. I thought they were like forming a group called King's Disease at this point. King's Disease 3. Talked about King's Disease 1, King's Disease 2. Now talk about King's Disease 3. First of all, thank you for making more music, Nasty Nas, Nas Escobar, and Hit Boy, who produced N-Words in Paris. We probably made more money off that fucking song. Jesus. Listen, I've listened to the album. It's a good album. Nas is, what he's saying is always poignant. He's not on that Uchi Wally Wally. He had a slip that day. I'm going to get to Uchi Wally Wally and 21 Savage in a minute. Okay. The song Beef. This is a high-level song, this song Beef. Nas has done this a few times. There's that one song where he's talking about himself as the gun. I don't know if this is called Metaphors or whatever. I can't remember the name of the song where he's the gun in the song. Gave you power. I gave you power. And then there's another song that he did where like the whole story's in reverse. Rewind. Gave you power, rewind. Nas is on some shit. Talk about an artist. He's on some shit. Like I said, I'm glad he made the record. That song Beef on the Record is good. That song Reminisce is good. He's kicking lyrics. It's all conscious. It's all positive. He's dropping little gems in there. He's talking about the past, talking about now. The song Reminisce I really like because he's like, yo, you want me to sound like it's 93. You know, that was dope. But what I'm doing now is even doper. And I get that because you can't go backwards. I understand that you can't go backwards. And I was having a conversation with my man Ian about this, about going backwards and living in the past. And, you know, one of the things that got cut out of the Tribe Called Quest movie, because the theme, one of the themes of the Tribe Called Quest movie, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, A Travels of a Tribe Called Quest, that I directed, was will A Tribe Called Quest make more music? Now, this is before the late, great Fife Dawg passed and they made that last album. But during the interviews, I would ask them, and I would ask everybody I interviewed, and I would ask the members of the group, Q-Tip, Fife, Ali, and Jarobi, over and over and over, and I have different versions of them answering the question. But I would say, will you guys make more music? Will the group get back together? And one line that didn't make the movie, it should have made the movie. I regret that it didn't make the movie, but there is always the 10-year anniversary, which is coming up. But I said to Jarobi, I said, yo, is A Tribe Called Quest going to get back together? And Jarobi said to me, he goes, you don't want Tribe to get back together. You want those memories back from when Tribe was together. And I was like, that's very fucking true. Now, first of all, I did want you guys to get back together, but I understand what he meant. He meant you want those memories of hearing Benita Applebaum for the first time. You want those memories of hearing Q-Tip on Jungle Brothers, Black is Black, for the first time on the radio. You want those memories of being in the club. You want those memories of passing the tape. And I get that. That I get. I totally understand that. But in regards to the Nas record and the sound, I can never criticize Nas. He's too good. He's too thoughtful with his words. He's so good for so many years. And he said it's been 30 summers. I mean, that motherfucker's been doing... And is he better than Jay-Z? Is he better than Nas? Well, that's a different discussion, which we could do here. But, you know, the sound is different. And even he says something about it sounding different, but this is... I get all that. So, inevitably, I really enjoy the King's Disease 3 record. I enjoy all three of these records, and I hope they continue making these records. It's important for Nas to be making music. It's just a different sound that gets me going. And this morning I was working out. I had a nice workout this morning. A nice workout. I was doing my jumping jack compilation. First I do running, 30 seconds. And then I do jumping jacks like this. Then I do traditional jumping jacks like this. And then I do jumping jacks like this. The whole thing's 2 minutes. It's like a 2-minute sprint. Shit's no joke. I had my wife doing it once. She was like, that shit is no joke. And my wife is a beast. Here's what the whole workout was this morning. I get into the gym. This is a gym in my building. It's a shit gym. Nobody was there. So I have my tiny little speaker. I put the speaker, I'm playing it because there's no one there. Obviously, if there's people there, I put the earphones in. I'm meandering first. I got to get my body warm, my head mentally good. I'm coughing. A lot of people stretch before they work out. I cough. That's how I break a sweat. I don't need to stretch before I work out because if you saw me go through my cough routine, you'd be like, holy shit. How can you do anything after that? So what I do first is cough. I meander. I'm Instagramming. I'm checking the news, checking the sports, checking the highlights, da, 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 da. And then today my workout was this. 3 sets of 2-minute jumping jack intervals. So it's 3 sets. So it's two. It's like 2 minutes of jumping jacks. And it's fucking hard. Each one is 30 seconds. I got my watch going and I got my Tabata going. I take 45 seconds, 30, 45 seconds in between. I do it depending on how I'm feeling. Today I did 30 seconds actually on my watch. I do that 2 minutes, take a 30 second break. Do another 2 minutes, 30 second break. 2 minutes, 30 second break. Boom. Fucking sweating at that point. And motherfuckers, I would love to see you do my 2 minute jumping jack diversified plan. It ain't no joke. Again, what it is, I'm running in place 30 seconds. Then I'm doing these jump, I'm jumping jack. Boom, boom. Then I'm doing regular jumping jack, boom, boom. Then I'm doing these. I learned it from this dude on Instagram. Do that three times, 30 seconds each. I'm fucked up. Then I did chest, bench press, 50s. Boom, 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 boom. 12 reps each, three sets, boom. Then I'm doing flies, 25s. Not too heavy. I got a fucked up shoulder. Three sets of that. Then I did another chest. Boom, boom, boom. Then I did biceps. I don't have to walk you through all that. I did 9 exercises of biceps. And after that, that's a lot. Then this morning again, what did I do? Plank sets. Different ones today. I did these. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. I did 2 sets, 90 seconds each. 90 seconds of plank with the boom, boom. Shout out to the 65-year-old guy who just did it. 8 hour plus plank, broke the world record. Let me tell you something. 5 minute plank takes you through the cycle of life. An 8 hour plank, I don't even know what that is. I also don't know, like, do you have things to do? No disrespect to the guy who did an 8 hour plank. Do you not have, like, do you don't like have like one of those eye calendars? Like, I gotta get a haircut, go to the doctor, get my oil fixed. Fresh Direct, something. There's got to be something. The guy did it an eight hour, I think it was 8 hour and 20 minutes or 8 hour, 40 minute plank. Ridiculous. Anyway, that was my workout. And then I did sit-ups. Then I actually stretched. Good workout today. Anyway, the Nas record is good. There's a lot of good shit on there. That beef song. And the thought that he must have put into it. And I'm so curious. I would love to interview Nas about the writing process. And like, did he hear the beat for that beef song first? Did he have the concept first? Did he write it with no beat? Because just that song alone is so much better than the majority of things that are out there. The consciousness, the thoughtfulness, the artistic nature of it. It's just high level shit. High, high, high level.
Podcast. We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. John Wall, baby, needs no introduction. Every week, the 5-time NBA All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA and what's going on now in the league. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John Wall will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show to give their unfiltered accounts of what's really going on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
And then you get to a guy like 21 Savage, who I didn't even mention on the Drake record last week. This is like, I don't want to talk about 21 Savage because what's to talk about? Tried to listen to this guy, 21 Savage. Wildly popular. I think he makes $1 million a show. $1 million fucking a show. I know if I say 21 Savage makes $1 million a show, Eric B and Rakim are turning over in their grave. I know if I say 21 Savage makes $1 million a show, Kool G Rap and Polo are kicking and screaming in their grave. And some people are like, what the fuck you talk about their life? I'm quoting the great Charles Barkley. But if 21 Savage makes $1 million a show, I know that Big Daddy Kane is probably like, what the fuck is going on here? And that's why when 21 Savage says something like he said about Nas, he said he's got a good fan base, he makes good records, but he's not relevant. Why me, Michael Rapaport, gets so offended? Because number one, 21 Savage, I guarantee you, if I walked around the streets of New York and I asked people to quote your best line, it would be hard for me to find somebody that would be able to quote a quotable line. Nas's first joint was a posse cut, and he had quotable lines on his first joint, the very first time we heard him. I went to hell for snuffing Jesus. That right there is better than your entire catalog, 21 Savage. I went, him on Live at the Barbecue, his verse on Live at the Barbecue is better than your entire catalog. And I'm sure you've made tons of records. I know people love you. I know people are like, Mike Ramp, who the fuck are you to talk about hip hop, you white boy? Who the fuck are you to talk? Stay out of the culture, you culture vulture. Suck my dick. SMD. Nas on Live at the Barbecue is better than your entire catalog. And you're talking about he's not relevant? To who? Obviously, Nas is not relevant to you because you could hear it in your work. He's relevant to Drake. I guarantee you, Drake listened to that King's Disease album over and over and over and over and over. And I get it. Age is important. I'm sure that Lil Wayne and Rick Ross and all them are important to you. But who do you think was important to those people? Nas, that's like saying Stevie Wonder's not relevant. For any rapper to say Nas is not relevant, it shows in your work, 21 Savage. And I'm glad you're making money. I'm glad you're able to take care of everybody. But it's so disrespectful. Only in hip hop do people do that. Do they degrade? Do they shit on? It's like that bum ass, fake ass DJ. He's not even a DJ. That academics guy, the character, saying that these old school dudes are dusty. And I gotta pick it up again. I gotta come out again. Me, Michael Rapaport, I gotta be the one to say, how dare you to say that Nas isn't relevant? And we see why you would think Nas isn't relevant, 21 Savage. Because when we listen to your music, it shows that you're not a big Nas fan. You probably ain't a Big Daddy Kane fan, an LL Cool J fan, a Beastie Boy fan, a Gangstar fan. You probably ain't a fan of any of them. And I hear it in your work. I hear it in this Drake album. You're like Cat in the Hat. That's what kind of shit you're on. And like I said, people will say, yo, he's making money. Who are you? That's the kind of rapper you are. Cat in the Hat, jumped over the bat, and then he flipped and he flapped, yappity yap. There's nothing positive in your shit. You're not doing metaphors and poetry and any of stuff like that. For anybody to say that Nas is irrelevant, it just because you're not a Nas fan. And inevitably, that's your loss. You're not a Nas fan. You probably like Tupac, sort of. You don't like Biggie. You don't like Gangsta. You don't like M.O.P. You don't like Sean Price. You really don't really fuck with hip-hop, really. Again, only in hip-hop is this. You're never hearing some young guitar player saying, Jimi Hendrix ain't relevant. Eric Clapton ain't relevant. Keith Richards ain't relevant. Only in hip-hop do they do this shit. They talk shit about the people that built this shit that you're making $1 million a show on. 21 Savage? Any of these people? Academics? You shitbag? You shitbag, you. That's it. I was going to talk about Tom Brady's ex-wife, Gisele Bundchen. Tom Brady's ex-wife is now dating some guy who's a jiu-jitsu, which Tom Brady's like, fuck. He's like a jiu-jitsu dude. So you don't want smoke. Money will have you in a like an ankle lock. Have your shit tied up. Like, I seen that, yo, at the UFC. I seen they get you in an ankle lock. You don't want that. Break your foot, Tom Brady. 45, you don't want that. But apparently, Gisele Bundchen is dating some young, I don't know where this guy's from. Who knows? I think he's from Ecuador or he's from maybe Brazilian. You don't want to fuck with a Brazilian jiu-jitsu dude. They invented the whole thing. Have you break your finger or something like that. We got Super Bowls to win, Tom Brady, or you do. And Mr. Sugar Dick himself, there's no verification or confirmation on this, but Mr. Sugar Dick himself, the guy who's got a literally taste of sugar at the tip of his dick, Pete Davidson, allegedly was seen with Emily Ratajkowski. This is the underdog stickman ever. This guy is like the Rocky Balboa of stickman, the Rudy of stickman, the Bad News Bears of stickman. You never would have thought that he's done so much with so little. It's incredible. The fact that people are even, Pete Davidson is, he is truly the underdog, the Rocky Balboa, the Bad News Bears of stickman. He got the next man. Jay Farrow, you're my dude. You're wildin'. Jay Farrow told an interviewer that Pete Davidson told him that he got a 9-inch dick. Why are you talking about the next man's dick, Jay Farrow? And I say that with love and respect. I'd say that to your face. I love you. I respect you. When I see you, I'm going to ask you also. I'm not calling you out. But it just goes to show the phenomenon of Pete Davidson. He got men talking about his dick. No one's ever had men talking about Leonardo DiCaprio, Warren Beatty, the great Dominique Wilkins, Milton Berle, Albert Einstein, Matt. No one has ever had other men talking about their dick. Only Sugar Dick and Pistol Pete Davidson. I'm done. I'm fucking done. I'm finished. Came, saw, disrupted. Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. I'm out. Miles Jordan, a.k.a. The Bleach Brothers, a.k.a. The Dust Brothers. Take me out here with something real nice. Take me out here with something real loud. But most importantly, take me out here with something real funky. Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. I'm out.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win album of the year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.